The Magnificent Marriage by Barbara Cartland. Read by George Waitman for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1, 1879. The Earl of Alderburn looked up from the letter he was holding in his hand with an expression of delight in his eyes.
"It has come, Elizabeth!" he exclaimed.
The Countess, seated at the other end of the breakfast table, glanced at him in surprise.
"What has?" she inquired.
"The letter from Kirby. Damn it all, you know I have been expecting it for weeks."
"Yes, of course, Hugo, and very disagreeable it has made you. What does he say?"
The Earl consulted the letter once again, and there was no doubt that he was delighted with every word he read. Finally, he said,
"He asks that Letty should travel to Singapore next month on the P&O liner, the Osaka."
"To Singapore?"
The exclamation was almost a scream, and Lady Lettice Byrne, sitting at the table, put down the cup she was holding with a hand that trembled.
"To Singapore, Papa?" she repeated. "No, no, I cannot do that."
"Now, Letty," her father said soothingly, "we have discussed this before. You promised me that you were looking forward to marrying Maximus Kirby."
"Not in Singapore, Papa. You said he would come here. Besides, that was a long time ago."
The words ended in a dismal whisper, and now Lady Lettice's large blue eyes filled with tears.
"I don't want to marry him, Papa. I don't want to marry anyone."
"That is ridiculous, Letty, as well you know," the Countess interposed. Although her voice was quite sharp, her eyes were apprehensive as they rested on her younger daughter.
"But, Letty, when Maximus Kirby came here," the Earl said, speaking in a voice one might use to a small child, "you found him very agreeable."
"He brought me the little parrots," Letty replied, her voice still trembling, "and I thought that was kind of him. But I don't want to marry him. And I will not go away from home. I want to stay with you, Papa."
The Earl's eyes rested on his daughter's face with an almost comical expression of dismay. He could not bear tears, and he always found it difficult to refuse anything Letty asked of him. She was so lovely, and the Earl had an appreciation of pretty women wherever he might find them. There was no doubt that Lady Lettice Byrne was outstandingly beautiful. Her fair hair was like sunshine, her pink and white complexion was flawless, her blue eyes fringed with dark lashes, and her rosebud mouth would have been the delight of any artist. It might have been expected that Lady Lettice would have been the toast, if not of London society, at least of all the eligible young gentlemen in the county. But while they flocked to her side the first moment she appeared, they most unaccountably soon turned away in search of less beautiful but more interesting young women. Therefore, after her first season in London, the Earl, who was an intelligent man, faced the fact that his younger daughter was not likely to make the brilliant marriage that he had envisaged for her. There was always the hope, of course, that some elderly peer would find her exquisite face a compensation for the almost infantile state of her intelligence, but at the moment he was not in evidence.
"It's not only that Letty has nothing to say, but she does not appear even to listen," the Earl said to his wife after one ball, when, towards the end of the evening, he had noticed a singular lack of partners for the beautiful Lettice.
"I know, Hugo," the Countess had replied,
"and I have explained to her over and over again that men expect a woman to concentrate on them, to listen to what they have to say, and to laugh at their jokes."
"What the hell does she think about?" the Earl asked.
"Really, your language, Hugo," the Countess exclaimed.
"I apologize, my dear. At the same time, you must admit, it is exasperating. No one could be lovelier than Letty, and I was looking forward to having a rich son-in-law."
The Countess sighed. There was no denying that they had all been counting on it. Alderburn Park was mortgaged up to the hilt. Their debts mounted year after year, and it seemed, in fact, that the only real asset they possessed was Lettice's unrivalled beauty. Then, when they had returned to the country...